today on Real Radio.
Everybody loves borders. I don't care who you are. I don't. I'm a globalist. I just, no borders, free, open. You're such a hypocrite. You say that in theory, and then you go home and you lock your door at night. What are you, for crying out loud? You can't do that. Oh, I don't believe in border security. And you lock your door at night when you go home. That's insane.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, now in a message called Arriving, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Again, thanks for joining us today. In these last few chapters, Isaiah goes on to describe a future time when Jesus Christ returns to establish his kingdom here on earth. But whether we're looking for the past, the present, or things yet to come, we're reminded of God's amazing love and patience that he has towards us and towards the nation of Israel. In part 2 from Isaiah chapter 61, we learned that God sent his son Jesus Christ to restore us. His desire is for us to be whole and healed. He comforts all those who come to him and spiritually holds our hand through the hard times. The Lord does this for us, and he wants us to do the same for others. Christianity works when we choose to get involved in restoring the lives of others. We can do this by showing God's love and by sharing what we know. So today on day 2 of Isaiah chapter 62, Pastor Jack tells us that God has written his laws and established our country's borders for our own benefit. The compassion he has towards us comes from a place of unconditional love. God appoints leaders not to rule over us, but for our own protection. And now continuing his lesson called Arriving, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Friends, listen. Those of you who are entertaining or have heard of replacement theology, it's a heretical teaching that God is done with the Jew. The church takes the place of Israel. There are no Jews. There is no Israel. And it's all church and it's all Christian. Replacement theology. It's kind of funny. Replacement theology was never around when Hitler was out hunting Jews and killing them. Nobody wanted to pretend there were Jews then. But now we live in an age where church leaders are saying, you know, Israel's an illegitimate nation, and we're going to replace all the Bible reference to the Jew and to Israel. We're going to replace it with the church and with Christian. That's heresy. Amen. And it's such heresy that you've heard me say this, and I'll say it again until I'm dead. And that is, if God does not keep his promises to Israel, the Christian has no hope. If God doesn't keep his everlasting covenant with his people Israel, you, my friend, ain't got John 3:16 to lean on. Because if God can renege on his commitment that is based upon his faithfulness, not theirs, that he makes a covenant with Abraham while Abraham was sleeping, that God could swear by none greater than himself, he shook his own hand and he made an everlasting covenant with the Jewish people. He says in Jeremiah 31 to chapter 33, I made this covenant, it's between me and my people, but I will fulfill it. Thank God he is committed to what he says, because now as a Christian, I have hope, because he will keep his promises to me, because listen, he's the God of all promise. And so we are grateful for that. Israel will experience its very purpose for why it has its existence. He says, and all kings, verse 2, your glory, you shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. You shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. Church, that has never happened. It didn't happen in Isaiah's day. Hasn't happened since 3,000 years. It's going to happen. When Christ returns in the second coming and establishes his kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, it's going to happen. Number 3. Keep this in mind. Look at verse 4. Arriving means it's God's idea of what border security is. You want to talk about border security? The book of Daniel says God is the one who established borders of the nations. Did you know that? You have a problem with that? By the way, everyone who has a, cracks me up. This is such a ridiculous conversation about borders. Everybody loves borders. I don't care who you are. I don't. I'm a globalist. I just, no borders, free, open. You're such a hypocrite. You say that in theory, and then you go home and you lock your door at night. What are you, for crying out loud? You can't do that. Oh, I don't believe in border security. And you lock your door at night when you go home. That's insane. Listen, somebody showed me tonight, heaven has walls and gates. Hell has open border policies. Anybody can get in. Anybody can, that's the immigration plan. You got to be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said it's narrow and it's really a thin road, but broad is the way that leads to eternal destruction. God establishes borders. He cares about them. Right now there are people, well, we get letters and emails and notes from people who live in Canada, who live in the UK. How can you live in Canada and the UK if there's no borders? No, God's into establishing borders. God's into law. God's into compassion. But lawlessness, no. So listen to this. Look at verse 4. You shall no longer be termed forsaken, nor shall your land. Okay, stop. Skeptic, stop. Verse 4, circle your land, and you got to draw a line all the way over to verse 1 and circle Zion and Jerusalem. Your land, whose land is this we're talking about? Israel's land. You can see this. Anyone can see this. Nor shall your land anymore be termed desolate, but you shall be called Hephzibah, which is one of the weirdest names I've ever heard, I think. But it's a word, it's a term that means city of God's delight. Isn't that awesome? This is what God says about it. And your land, Beulah, that word means bride of God. Wow. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. That's a good thing. Think about God, the Lord of all creation. According to the Bible, I've told you guys this before, and in fact, we're going to be giving a Bible study there in a little over a month, I guess, come to think of it. Well, we're going to stand in a place where I'm going to reference this, where, again, the God of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation says that Israel is his, past, present, and future. And romantically, the Jews teach that on Zion, when God spoke the universe into existence, now I don't know if this is true or false, but I want it to be true because it's very cute, that when God spoke the physical universe into existence, the physical universe had to start somewhere, from the spirit realm into the physics of all things. And the rabbis teach that when he spoke the world into existence, that it first formed underneath his feet. So he's standing on top of the ball, as it were. And they say that that spot is Zion or Moriah. That's beautiful romantic talk. I want it to be true. But the point is this, he does call it his land. And listen, he said that he's promised it to his people Israel. Now, if I were to walk into the foyer of the United Nations and say that, I'd probably get beat up. Even though out in front of the UN, they have a verse right out of the book of Isaiah on display. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their weapons into pruning hooks, taken right out of Isaiah. But they don't even listen to the prophet Isaiah at the UN. I'm going to give you a guess. Open book test. Out of all the nations on earth since the creation of the United Nations in 1947, What nation has been more sanctioned and more voted against than all other nations combined? Israel. It's the Jews' fault. Everything's the Jews' fault. It's all the Jews' fault. I just simply ask you this. Why? Why? Again, it's spiritual. God says it's his land. It's not the UN. The UN, they think they can decide. They can only decide what God wants them to decide. It's his land. Now, I know this is controversial talk. Truth is. But in our modern day talk in church and on campus, you don't get this. It's called the promised land. Who made the promise? God did. And here's where it comes down to. It's very simple. Israel doesn't work at all unless you believe the God of this book. If you don't want to get embroiled in the discussion, then don't read this book. Because God says, I've promised the land. Whose is it to promise? Who can give it away but God? Right? I want to show you something. If you put your eyes to the screen here, I want you to take a look at this. This map, and you might want to take a picture if you'd like. You see that term Greater Israel? This red line, if you have read your Old and New Testament, if you've read 66 books of your Bible, that red zone inside the red, that's the land that was promised to Abraham. This almost was fulfilled under King Solomon. King Solomon came the closest to having the borders that existed in the book of Genesis that God gave. God gives the actual limits by name in your Bible. Those documents of the book of Genesis, thousands of years old, authored by Moses. The outline is there given. Take a look. Are you Lebanese? Does this bother you? Are you Syrian? Are you Jordanian? Are you a Kuwaiti? Are you an Iraqi? Are you a Turk? Are you an Iranian? Persian? Are you Saudi Arabian? Are you Egyptian? The Bible says that when Messiah returns, he will establish his kingdom, and that's the size of his state. He'll rule the world, Jesus will. Some people see this and they lose their minds because that can't be true. It is true. Bible says so. This is what God's going to do. He's promised it. Dear friends, if God doesn't keep that red border you saw, you have no hope. You understand that? If God fails in one promise of his word, it's almost like a domino effect. If one thing were to fail, it all goes down. In fact, listen, if you're a skeptic tonight, if you want to destroy Christianity tonight, I've got the idea for you. I can tell you how to destroy Christianity and make it just go away like all other man-made religions. And that is go and defeat, prove that Jesus Christ never rose from the dead. That's the big deal, because that means you would be able to destroy the prophets of the Old Testament and the validity of the new. Christianity is broken if Jesus is not risen. That's one promise. If it failed, it all goes down. And yet all other promises that God has given us, if one of them go down, they all go down. So friend, if God doesn't keep his promise to you, to forgive you, to love you, to provide for you, to escort you into his presence with joy and praise and thanksgiving. If he doesn't fulfill that, you have no hope. But do you hear the level of my sarcasm right now? I get to be like this because we have absolute hope. We're not like hoping in hope. Oh, I hope, I hope. Oh, I hope, I hope, I hope. Golly, I hope. That's not the hope I'm talking about. It's the hope you can die on. It's the hope that is. We don't think he's coming. He's coming. We don't hope he fulfills his word. Oh, he's going to fulfill his word. Oh, he's absolutely awesome. Number four, arriving is God's delight over his Jewish people. Verse 5, for as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you. He's talking about Jerusalem and Israel. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Man, that is awesome. That's amazing. God is going to delight. According to Bible prophecy, God says, I'm going to delight in the Jewish people in the end. God said it, it's going to happen. I think that's awesome. For as a young man marries a virgin, I still hope that's true today. I'm an old guy. I still hope that's true. This term here means that the young man sees a woman of virtue, and marries her, and it says here that she becomes his bride, the bridegroom and the bride, and it says that he rejoices over her. We hear this picture about God regarding Israel. We hear this picture about Christ and his church. That's a sweet, beautiful thing, but God says about his people, just as a bridegroom rejoices over the bride. Side note, if you're married tonight, young man, middle-aged man, old man, you need to rejoice over your bride. Now, I don't know what that means. I need to look that up. I didn't focus my study on that part, but women, you ought to look it up and tell your man based on your interpretation of what that means. Hey, if it means coffee in bed in the morning, then rejoice over her. I'm dead serious. I think if men rejoiced over their wives more, I think marriage would have a lot better rap and a lot better witness. I think that God's creation of the woman is his crowning work. I mean, he made man, and then he said, okay, I'm going to try this again. And he makes woman. And you can hate me all you want, but the fact is, women have a greater tendency to pray. Women seem to hear God's voice better than men do. If you need anything done in the church, call women. They'll get it done. Isn't that sad? It's wonderful, but sad. God has a special place in his heart for women. That's why, by the way, I believe there are many religions that abuse women. I think that's a satanic, I think you're seeing Satan's heart against women in those religions. Wherever Christianity has gone, women's rights and women's persona has been elevated. Everywhere in the world. And the Christian man is to so honor his wife that he ought to rejoice over her. And I saw a couple of young faces in here, so I won't go any further beyond that then. But your wife is to be the one that satisfies you, not somebody on a flat plastic screen or somebody down the office cubicle. That's an abomination to God. Well, you know, she's not as cute as she was when I married her. And you are. That's profound. Did you know that physical attraction? This has nothing to do with our Bible study tonight. Did you know that physical attraction between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, did you know that physical attraction is an issue of the heart? Yes. I've watched it. Listen, I've been married almost 40 years this June, in a couple months. Wow, 40 years. Here's the deal. I've watched it in people's lives, and I know it's true in my own life. Listen, if you determine to love your husband or love your wife, God will give you a heart and eyes for them, and they will be, it's a divine work, they will be absolutely attractive to you. Well, yeah, he's too thin, she's too big, he's too tall now, she's too short now. Doesn't matter, it's irrelevant. Seriously, that's how the stupid world lives. Oh, look. Oh, look. You don't even know what you're looking at. You don't even know it's real, for one thing. Listen, if you're married tonight, you need to say, God, give me a heart for my husband. I think he's turned into one ugly mug. But God, give me a heart for him. Cause me, Lord, to see him attractive again. God will do it. God will do it. I'm telling you, God will do it. If you have the guts to pray that, God will do it. It's amazing. Ask God, Lord, help me to see attractive things in her. He'll do it. It's his will. God has that for his people. Think about his people. His people have been anything but good to him. He chooses to see them as what they're going to be like.
Yes. Thank you, God.
I'm counting on that for me. Yes. Right?
Yes.
In my own life. Romans 11 verse 1. Paul says, Romans 11 verse 1. I say then, has God cast away his people? Certainly not. For I also am an Israelite and of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Look at verse 25, way down to 25. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. He's speaking to the Romans. They're a bunch of Italians. Listen, there's a Jew talking to non-Jews about the Jewish people. Lest you should be wise in your own opinion. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. That means God knows how many non-Jews are going to get saved. And when that happens, then he's done. He kind of shuts the door on that ark and he goes to work on the Jewish people again. But blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Verse 26, and so all Israel will be saved as it is written. The deliverer will come out of where? Zion. So the Messiah is going to come out of Zion and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. That's another name for Israel. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. That's what God says. It's awesome. It's wonderful.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Arriving. We're so glad you took the time to join us today. And don't forget, for the Christ follower, the end is actually the beginning. Won't you come to Jesus today? Arriving is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, don't forget that we have a lot more media resources available from Pastor Jack. A lot of folks already watch his videos on Facebook and YouTube, but did you know that he's got weekly shows like the Real Life Talk podcast, Real Life TV, weekly devotions that you can tap into? Pastor Jack's also made available what's called Real Life Basics. This is awesome. Titles like What is a Christian? How can I share? And What if I sin? He's also got news updates, teachings that are live from Israel, even studies on the parables of Jesus. That was an awesome study, by the way. Check that out. It's all right there when you visit our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org or on the Real Life mobile app. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.